The Mass today is at the Sexagesima Sunday, and the epistle is from St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, you gladly put up with fools, because you are wise yourselves. But you suffer it if a man enslaves you, if a man devours you, if a man takes from you, if a man is arrogant, if a man slaps your face. I speak to my own shame as though we had been weak in this matter. But wherein any man is bold, I'm speaking foolishly, I also am bold. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I, to speak as a fool, am more. In more labors, in prisons more frequently, in lashes above measures, often exposed to death. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 lashes less one. Thrice I was scourged. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I was adrift on the sea. In journeyings often. In perils from floods. In perils from robbers. In perils from my own nation. In perils from the Gentiles. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils from false brethren. In labor and hardships. In many sleepless nights. In hunger and thirst. In fastings often. In cold and in nakedness. Besides those outer things, there is my daily pressing anxiety, the cares of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I am not inflamed? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that concern my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forevermore, knows that I do not lie. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas was guarding the city of the Damascenes in order to arrest me. But I was lowered in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. If I must boast, it is not indeed expedient to do so, but I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. That he was caught up into paradise and heard secret words that man may not repeat. Of such a man I will boast, but of myself I will glory in nothing save in my infirmities. For I do wish to boast, for if I do wish to boast, I shall not be foolish, for I shall be speaking the truth. But I forbear, lest any man should reckon me beyond what he sees in me or hears from me. And lest the greatness of the revelation should puff me up, there was given me a thorn of the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Concerning this, I thrice besought the Lord that it might leave me. But he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For strength is made perfect in weakness. Gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities, that the strength of Christ may dwell in me. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, when a very great crowd was gathering together and men from every town were resorting to Jesus, he said in a parable, "The sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside and was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. And other seed fell upon a rock, and as soon as it had sprung up, it was withered away because it had no moisture. And other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other seed fell upon good ground and sprang up and yielded fruit 100-fold. And as he said these things, he cried out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But his disciples then began to ask him what this parable meant. He said to them, "To you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are they that have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. Now those upon the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, but believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns, these are they who have heard, and as they go their way are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not ripen. But that upon good ground, these are they who with a right and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast and bear fruit in patience. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, today, of course, all things in place, we will have catechism class for the children. Wednesday is the feast of St. Valentine. Even though it is taking place during the season of Septuagesima, it is certainly in place for the sake mostly of the children to have a little something special for Valentine's Day and have no fear about it. In prudence and in dignity and honor, and teach the children of the niceties of life and how they should treat these niceties of life. Let us not remove them, as we've said so many times before. Let us not take these little fantasies away from our children, because there is plenty out there to take and fill the void that is left in their little minds when we take these things away from them. There is a statement in today's bulletin, it's legal, I think it was in there last week as well, concerning those who place cash money without identification in the bulletin. You can read the announcement for yourselves. However, of course, if you don't want to be identified, you don't have to be identified. All the legalities of the world, to the contrary, notwithstanding. So do as you know to do and wish to do. If you want credit, however, you have to identify yourself. And while I'm on that point, I've said this once before, and I will repeat it. And the reason why I repeat it is because of something that has just happened elsewhere, and it has reminded me. And that is that those of you who want to be buried in our cemetery, and who want to be buried from this church, please leave plenty of information and direction concerning this point. Do not think for a second that word of mouth will be honored. Remember that we come from mixed situations, and mixed situations can cause confusion at a time of great weakness and sadness. Please leave written instructions, and if you can, give us a copy of these instructions so that we too will know what to do about the matter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, in today's bulletin we read, serious men with serious intention give serious worship to a serious God. Today is Sexagesima Sunday. Next Sunday, of course, is Quinquagesima, which is just before the beginning of Lent. As we have already pointed out, the Sexagesima period being very important, nevertheless, it is still not Lent. And the rigors of Lent have not yet set in. It is a season very specially designed by our Holy Mother Church to prepare us, to get us into the frame of mind, to develop, to form our thought pattern concerning what has to be done and what must be done, what should be done, what needs to be done during Lent. Lent, as I have pointed out in previous years, is not a time for making resolutions. I might even say with strength, do not make resolutions. Because what happens in making the resolutions, if we hold on to them, that is, if we hold on to them, we enter into the period of resolution on Ash Wednesday, and then at midnight of Easter Saturday, we sit there with a glass in our hands, ready to enjoy freedom. So what good did the resolutions do us? We must not be concerned about doing during Lent. Anybody can do. You go to more masses, you can say more prayers, you can make more acts of mortification, you can do all kinds of things. But this is not Lent. There is a bit of artificiality about that, or can be. I'm not saying that we are not sincere when we do these various things that we have told ourselves that we would do. We can be quite sincere. At the same time, we just might be tempted, which is, after all, we are human. We just might be tempted to look at our neighbor, whoever our neighbor may be, whether it's our husband, or our wife, or our children, or our mother, or father, or whoever. We just might be tempted to look with interest and see that they are not doing this and not doing that and not doing the other. We're doing it. Remember always the two men who went up to the temple to pray. Don't ever forget those two gentlemen, because they tell us so much. I thank thee, Lord. We just might be tempted. I thank thee, Lord, that thou hast made me just a little bit better than my poor wife over here, or my poor husband over here. Look at him. I know he's good for nothing, but I can't help it if I'm a little bit holier than he is. Don't be worried about who's doing what. Lent is not in the doing. Lent is in being. This morning's gospel told us about the seed that fell in various places. The seed is the Word of God. And it fell on the ground where it's supposed to fall, if it's to germinate. Where is the ground? The ground, my beloved people, is my heart. And if it doesn't take place, if it doesn't take root in my heart, it is nothing. We're going to be hearing, it just so happened coincidentally, that it's not in this bulletin, but it will be in one or two bulletins after Ash Wednesday, after next Sunday, in preparation for Lent. It so happens that in our web page, we've taken up the subject of temptation. And we will be taking up temptation in our bulletin. And we're taking up the subject of temptation because there is, I think, a misunderstanding with many of us what temptation really is. And that temptation is sinful. Temptation is not sinful. Our blessed Lord was tempted. Wasn't he? Did he commit sin? Of course not. Temptation becomes sinful when I with freedom of mind and freedom of action and freedom of footstep place my foot in front of that with full will and full intention. I am going to go down this street as opposed to going down that street. Both streets are all right as far as getting me there. The distance is not greater one way or the other. But I choose to go down this street because there just might be something I need to see. Now, whatever happens after that, you're responsible for it, or we are responsible for it. I have to will. I know what's on this street. I know what's on this street. I have no business to open my eye as to what is on this street. My eye is over here. And I have to stay away. Temptation is for everybody. Our minds When was the last time that our minds stood still? Once upon a time, a man thought he was going to write a book, and he was going to sit down and put to paper every thought that he had, every thought, everything at all, just as it presented itself and just as it came out. He was going to put it in the form of a novel or whatever he wanted to call it. After the first page, the man gave up. Couldn't follow it, because the mind is constantly in motion. It flips from one thing to the other, from one thing to the other, all day long, even in prayer. So temptation is constantly there. Let us not be concerned about it. And I say, even in prayer, goodness gracious, you would think that in a monastery, the holy monks, I think they're holy, I hope they are, I hope we are, that the holy monks, when they gather together to sing the praises of God, we get up in the morning or whenever the time is, we pray, we say our prayers in common together. Do you think for one second that the monks' minds are completely under control? Don't be silly. And that we have to struggle constantly to keep our minds in focus. Is the monk's prayer no good? Not so. Is your prayer no good? Because you sit down, and the minute you start the rosary, goodness gracious, your mind goes into 77 different directions all at once. Therefore, you think you're not holy. Therefore, you think you are sinful. Therefore, you think you're not attractive to God. Therefore, you think you will not save your soul because you don't know how to pray. Not so, beloved people. Not so. Our business is to give praise to God to the best of our ability. It is not in doing, it is in being. We have to work, we have to struggle, we have to intend. The intention for me right now, I walk into this church, I'm going into choir, I'm going to sit there, and my intention is to give praise and honor and glory to God, regardless what the man downstairs has got in mind for me at the moment. And therefore, I am giving praise to God as much as any saint. Remember, I've told you, you are each and every one, I hope together with us, are called upon to be a saint. What is a saint's business? A saint's business is God. That's all. We're not here speaking of the definition of God. There are people, you know, as we've said before, there are people who know all about God. They know what he's like. They know what he has done. They know what he can do. They've read every line that has been written concerning God. Their minds are bulging with information concerning God. But they don't know God. And today, sad to say, too much ink is being wasted on information which is available at the push of a button. That does not make us holy, necessarily. Yes, we have to know God. We can't love that which we do not know. We understand that, but let us understand what the word know means, what our knowledge must be about. And our purpose, because of that knowledge, our purpose, our only purpose, for thee alone, and only for thee. Serious men. It doesn't mean we might for the moment think that we have to stay on our knees all day long. No. We have to do the things that we're called upon to do, whatever. We have to go here, we have to do that, we have to teach school, we have to go to school, we have to buy groceries, we have to put air in the tires of our car, whatever, we have to wash dishes, we have to sew, we have to clean house, all kinds of things. We have to go to the marketplace. We have to walk down the street. We have to do all these things. Is that not prayer? Well, it can happen that it is not prayer if I do not know how to handle it, but it can be a very high form of prayer because it is done with love. The lover, if he is a lover, if he knows about being a lover, cannot possibly take his mind off of the beloved. Not possible. And because he does love, the beloved is always in his head. Whether he is walking down Main's in the marketplace, or whether he's driving a car, or whether he's scrubbing floors, or washing dishes, or she, or whoever, or doing anything at all. And because he loves, because the beloved is in his head, when he comes to that point of the two streets, which one he is to take, there's no question about which street he is going to take. And with absolute freedom, because in his love for the beloved, he is totally free. So, as we are preparing ourselves for Lent, let's read, there's a nice little, a couple of nice little things in today's bulletin that we need to read carefully, and that is how we prepare ourselves and what is our frame of mind. My thought that's in my head, even right now, is I look at you. My thought is God. I want to think about God. And as I look at you, I see a multitude, each one doing whatever. And all these things can be distractions. I can't help that, and you can't help that. But my thought is God, and I struggle to keep it there. And in so doing, we do what God is asking of us. And in our prayer, how often do we pray? And we pray ardently. And we see nothing happen. I decided I wasn't going to tell you this, but I am going to tell it to you anyway. To show you how things can happen. As you know, over the past several weeks, we have had problems with paperwork outside at night. And when we get up in the morning, we see paper, lots of paper, all over the place. And, of course, different ones think different measures should be taken. And I have decided that the only measure we're going to take, the only measure I'm going to take, is prayer. And pray very, very diligently and earnestly to Almighty God and to a whole list of saints who are supposed to be expert in outside paperwork. Last night, I prayed, weekends, dear Lord, don't let anything happen tonight. Don't let anything happen tonight. I got up for the necessities of nature at 12:30 this morning. And I said prayers at 12:30 this morning. Dear Lord, please let there not be anything to happen tonight. And while I was saying the prayer, the paper hangers were outside hanging paper. And the temptation, because he never leaves a stone unturned, why did you bother? He is not paying a bit of attention to you while you are praying. The enemy is at work. Yes, those thoughts came to my mind. And very strong, too. And the only thing I could do, and I have done ever since, I said, dear Lord, no matter what, I love you. And I have had to repeat that over and over again. He knows, somehow, he knows what to do in spite of me. And how many of you have prayed and have prayed diligently for your son or your daughter or your father or your mother, whoever, and while you are on your knees praying for him or whoever, and while you are on your knees, he is out you know where. And you may be tempted to say, why bother? He's not paying attention to me. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He's only trying to see how much you love him. And it isn't something that passes at every little snowflake that comes by to change your mind. Either you love him or you don't love him. And simply say, get thee behind me. I love him. And there's nothing that you will ever do to change that. My God is there. And my God knows my need, and my God has heard me. But he has more in store for me because he wants to make me a saint. And he wants to be sure that I am capable of becoming one. Serious men with serious intention, giving serious worship to a serious God, and I might add, in serious times. Let us put everything we know aside completely. Let us turn our attention to Him and Him alone. It is in love that we will see His face. The only question that He will ask me when I come to that point in my life and leave this piece of borrowed garbage and rubbish, the only question that He was going to ask me is, did you love me?